I was the entertainment at the party, but I never sang. I was dancing. So when it came to me, I pretty much taught myself how to sing from just listening to music over and over. I used to listen to Jennifer Holliday. She was one of my favorite singers. I used to sneak, and I had the single to "And I'm Telling You." And I would go in my room. I had a little record player, and I would just sit and I would sing, and I would listen to, you know, copy her and listen to Patti LaBelle. I loved them. And so it wasn't until I actually, one Sunday, my brother and I were allowed to go to church with our neighbors, and I loved it so much. I joined, and I got in the choir, and my mom said, "What are you doing? You're getting in the choir?" I was seven, and who let you do this? You know, she wasn't too happy about it, because we went to church as a family. So I was like, "But I wanted to go to the Baptist church and beat the tambourines and, you know, get it on in church." It was just like, my parents are Methodists, and so it's like, oh, boy, this is boring. they beat tambourines. And so long story short, I ended up, you know, she let me stay for a little while. It didn't last long, but I actually did end up leading my first solo in church. God has smiled on me when I was seven. And from that point on, both of my parents were extremely musical. They were in the choir at their church. And my dad actually was in the, he went to college at Florida A&M University down in Jacksonville, Florida. And he was in the band there during the time when no women were even allowed in the band, because they were such a fast-moving dancing band. And my dad was a drummer. So both of my parents can sing, but it wasn't because of them that I started singing, because they had no clue, because I never let them know until I got involved in high school and performing arts and started doing shows and pageants. It was when they first realized that, oh, gosh, you can really sing. So that story regarding their influence.
Interesting.
Yeah.
were they kind of sheltering you, or just had too much interest in what they were doing to even notice, or, you know, since you were in the closet?
Never. Let me straighten that out. Oh, absolutely not. I come from a very loving and fun home. My parents were fun. And, no, it was, I was the one who was too shy to let them know. I mean, my brother and I, we would scream Rick James and Tina Marie's "Fire and Desire." Of course, I had no idea what the heck I was talking about or singing about at the time, but my brother knew. But my mom would say, "Stop all this screaming." So it wasn't about, you know, sheltering me at all. It was that I was a shy kid when it came to music and singing for real, because I had no problem screaming and competing with my brother in terms of who could scream the loudest. So.
That's cool.
Yeah, so no, I was not a sheltered kid at all.
Well, at a young age, while you were living in Georgia, were there any local talents that caught your attention, or something that caught your eye, making you say to yourself, "I want to do that"?
I can't say there was any local talent, because I grew up in such a small town. My town was more sports based, and still is to this day. I mean, the school I went to, Northside High School, still was known for the drama department and excelling there, but it's a sports town, to be honest with you. And where my parents live is in Warner Robins, Georgia, which happens to be like about 11 miles south of Macon, Georgia. And if you know great music, you know that James Brown, Otis Redding, Little Richard, they're all from Macon, Georgia. So that's about as close as it got for me. But, you know, I didn't really know who they were at the time. I learned and I was inspired by the music played in my home, because, like I said, I mean, my dad kept a mean playlist of albums in our house, and I was the entertainment in terms of dancing at the parties until I got tired and went to sleep. But so it was more so me just loving the type of music that they played, and then I would watch shows like Star Search back then, and you know, I was inspired really by those type of shows, talent shows, and artists, like I said. And then Manus came along, Whitney Houston, and it was over. I was like, oh my God, I want to be her. You know, that's the voice right there. So that truly was my inspiration. I just knew that I was a special kid. I wasn't that kid who wanted to be outside playing. I hated the sun. I never wanted to go out until the sun went down. I was like, I don't want to burn. It's too hot. I hate humidity. So I would literally be in my room listening to these great, you know, singers, like I mentioned. And that's how I got my inspiration. And you know, I was like, this is my dream. I want to do this. I want to be like Whitney Houston. That's what I want to do. So.
Oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. While you were in high school, after realizing your career path, how did you determine which university was going to give you the best instruction in your love for theater?
That's a great question. Well, honestly, because, like I said, at the time, being in drama, and we were winning the one at competition every year, and the finals were always, the international competition was always held in Muncie, Indiana. I actually had the pleasure to travel a lot with the high school drama department. So I actually got several scholarship offers my junior year. So I was offered a scholarship for Pepperdine, Georgia Southern, North Carolina ATT for basketball, as well as Georgia Southern for basketball and academics. And then Pepperdine was for theater and music, and academic. And then there's Roosevelt University in Chicago, which was partial talent scholarship and partial academic scholarship. And I based my decision on, along with the support of my family, the school who courted me the most and who showed the most interest during my senior year, because to me that was, you know, the most important time to see, you know, who was really going to take care of me moving miles away from home had I chose Pepperdine or Roosevelt. And, you know, any of them was going to be me leaving home. So I made the decision based on Yolanda Lyon Miller, who was the dean, as she rests in peace, of Roosevelt University Theater Department. Yo would get on the plane, and she came to, they all saw me in Muncie, Indiana, at the International Theater Festival, and the scholarship offers started coming, but like I said, two of them were for basketball. And so, my senior year, she came, and she saw what I was doing, she supported, she called my parents, she wanted to know how my grades were. So she really, 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 I felt like she had taken me under her wing. Prior to me getting to Chicago, I wasn't going to feel alone. And another one of my good friends at the time, who was a class ahead of me, had also gotten a scholarship, and she had already been in Chicago, Jenna Ford. And, you know, Jenna and I were in constant contact, and she was telling me how great the department is and how it's a family, and, you know, Yolanda took care of her. And so that's what made me and my parents go with Roosevelt University, because I knew at that point that it wasn't basketball that was my passion anymore. It was the arts. And I also had the pleasure, I was, you know, of studying music with the Chicago Music College upstairs. And I was going to get the education that I needed, as well as the training that I needed to go out there and tackle the real world in terms of, you know, what comes with being in entertainment. You know, the people just see the glitz and the glamour, but it's really show business, and the business most of the time comes first, is what I like to always say, because the show will go on with or without us. So that's what made me choose Roosevelt.
Well, that's good to know that somebody's really behind you and supporting you, you know, 100%. It's a good choice. You know, while you were in high school, were you auditioning for parts in play while you were in school?
Not in high school. In high school, I just did the shows through Northside High School. You know, we did one act, we did a spring musical. It's a big theater department there. And so I was involved 100% with pretty much any and everything that was going on in at Northside, with the drama department, plays. I was also in the Miss Northside pageant. I was first runner-up. Won the talent competition. I won quite a few competitions within that pageant. So I was just strictly involved. I didn't do, like, outside community theater. It was all about Northside High School, as well as, you know, keeping my grades up, because my parents are both educators. So it's like, if you can't keep your grades up, then you can't do this. So for, it was always do your homework, and then you go and you sing and you go to the classes. Yeah. So, not in high school. It was strictly about, you know, being loyal to Northside High School and the activities that I had going on there.
Oh, okay. Were you involved in any commercials at a younger age?
Once I got to college in Chicago, once I did get to Roosevelt University, my very first commercial actually was a McDonald's commercial. I did a Big Mac commercial for McDonald's. So it wasn't until I actually got to college. But my freshman year in college, we weren't allowed to audition outside of the theater department, because Yolanda was very strict about making sure that we were ready for the outside world and that we weren't misrepresenting her name and Roosevelt University. So, I actually did, you know, I looked after Mama. I did sneak, because Dreamgirls was my favorite show, and it, to this day, it still is my favorite musical. And the theater, the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse here, they were doing a production of Dreamgirls, and I snuck to that audition. I wasn't supposed to go. I snuck to the audition, and the executive producer called Yolanda and was like, okay, I sang Jennifer Holliday's "And I'm Telling You." Mind you, I'm about 4'10", this little old thing, and I go in and I sing "And I'm Telling You," and they're looking at me like, who is this girl, this little girl with this big board? She's so not right for Effie. She's so not right. She's too young for any of the dreams right now. But they were so taken by my audition. He called Yolanda and said, you know, one of your students came and they wanted to hire me as a pit singer because I was too young for anything in the show at the time. And she said no. She said she wasn't supposed to be there. And I begged, I cried. That would have been, you know, I could have made a little money in college. I wasn't allowed to have a job my freshman year or any of that. It was all about, you know, learning the craft. And she said no. She talked to my parents, and I got a little blessing out for sneaking to the audition, and she told them I couldn't do it. So, you know, lesson learned, no means no. You know, I snuck out, and it didn't matter how cute and talented they thought she wasn't having it. So, that was one of my my experiences my freshman year. So it wasn't until my sophomore year that I was able to do anything outside of the department. Yeah.
Okay. And was that your first role you landed, or?
No, the first role I landed after my freshman year was the first non-equity national tour of Big River. And I actually ended up taking a year off from college to do that tour. I was Young Betsy, and I sang the song "How Blessed We Are" for those who know the musical Big River. So a year of my college life, I did take off because I booked that tour, and everyone, including Yolanda, was like, this is incredible. This is a great thing. It was through Dodgers Productions out of New York. But again, it was the first non-union tour. So that was the first role I landed while still in college in my sophomore year, which led me to take a year off and then come back and finish.
Yeah, after that year off, did you figure something out that would help you to be pretty successful at other auditions?
Absolutely. I was surrounded by an extremely talented cast of people, and I was the baby on that tour, you know. So they took care of me, and I learned from them, and I watched them, and I saw, you know, the stamina it took every night, even for me. I mean, I had the Showstopper song, and I was 17 years old, and here I am, a baby on tour, and, you know, first, I leave home for the first time, and I go to Chicago, to the big city, and then a year later, I'm on a tour bus, you know, touring the nation. in a production where I'm the youngest. And so, you know, I learned real fast how to adapt, how to take care of myself, how to watch and learn from others and listen, because acting is listening. You know, the best actors are the ones who listen, because, you know, through listening you get a true response, you know. And so several of those people, and I'm still in touch with some of those people from that Big River tour on Facebook, and, you know, and some of us speak on the phone, the one thing that I can say is that I learned to pay attention and the do's and the don'ts of theater, and how to adjust and live out of a suitcase, I mean, at a very young age, and how to, you know, maintain the voice, you know, doing one-nighters, you know, a show today, and then we're back on the bus, and we're in a new city tomorrow, and it's like, oh, my God, where's my Dr. Pepper? I wanted to, you know, my parents would send me, because, you know, in Chicago, it wasn't about Dr. Pepper, and then on the road, it certainly wasn't about finding Dr. Pepper, but I'm a Southern girl, so I'm like, where's the Dr. Pepper around here? And they're like, girl, drink some water. I don't want water. Where's my Dr. Pepper? So, you know, I learned the importance of H2O real fast when it comes to protecting the cords.
Yeah.
But it was hard, because I'm like, oh, no, I need my sugar. I'm not old. I need my sugar. So I learned quite a bit at a young age, and I'm grateful for it today, because, you know, as I got older, I've done two other tours for Broadway, and you know, had I not had that experience at a young age, I don't know if I would have lasted the first tour, you know, Little Shop of Horrors. I don't know if I would have lasted on that tour as long as I did had I not had that experience back then. So.
You probably would have. You've got the stand.
Out of the way, but I is.
That's funny.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, you were speaking of Dreamgirls, too, as you said you snuck off and tried that. You landed a role as, is it Laurel?
Yes, that is correct. I graduated from Roosevelt, and the Marriott Lincolnshire Theater, where I did, I got my equity card there, and I still love that theater. They had hired me prior to for other shows, but they were doing Dreamgirls, and the choreographer, one of my dear friends still today, Kenny Ingram, Latonya, you were doing Dreamgirls, and I needed to come and audition, girl. And, you know, my agent, you know, got the appointment, and I went in for Laurel, and I carried on and love Loretta Devine to this day. And I booked it, and I went on to win the Joseph Jefferson Award in Chicago for Best Supporting Actor in a Musical for that role.
Very impressive. Tanya, we have a caller coming in. Would you like to take a call?
Yeah, let's see what they're talking about.
Okay. Hello, who are we speaking to?
Hello, my name is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
I wasn't sure if you guys could hear me. I was talking and nobody was responding.
Oh, why? You have to get queued in by the operator over here. So, go ahead, Aaron.
Yes,
Latonya,
I want to know when can we see you perform live,
and when
where can we see you perform live?
Oh, first of all, everybody, that's my sweetheart. That's Aaron Lewis, my dream guy. Aaron, actually, right now, I don't have any shows scheduled, but I will soon, as I just got the mastered single mix for the first single that will be Stand Up for my new music project, produced and arranged by the one and only Mr. Narda, Michael Walden, and I co-wrote the song with Narda and my lovely dear friend and composer and Grammy-winning writer, Allie Willis, the woman who's part of the pen behind Earth, Wind & Fire, September, Boogie Wonderland. So that single I'm hoping to drop is early to mid-June. We just got to do a photo shoot for that, the single, as well as a video But I'm going to be dropping that single hopefully in June and following up with a video. And then from that point on, I'll hopefully begin to, you know, start some scheduling some live performances to promote the record. Meanwhile, you can go to my website, LaTanyaHolmes.com, and check out videos and, you know, hear live performances from the past and music from my first EP on there, as well as the snippet that Ron played at the top of the show, Love Hangover. So we're working on all of that as we speak, and hopefully before summer is out, hopefully June, July, have some dates to perform for the world and for California and the nation. So that's where we are with that, Aaron.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking my call. So far, I'm enjoying the interview a lot, and I'm just going to stay tuned in to listening to the radio. And thank you, Ron, for actually putting this together.
Oh, you're very welcome, Aaron. It's nice to hear the voice attached to the name.
Thank you for
calling. Okay. No problem. I'll talk to both of you guys later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. Amazing. The switchboard's lighting up here. We have another. We got a couple more callers.
Awesome,
in the, you want to talk to them? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Cool.
Let's put another one on here. Hello.
How you doing?
Live.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Who are we speaking to, sir?
This is producer Rob Diggy out of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Latanya.
What's up, Rob Diggy?
Right.
Yes. See, this is the one I'm loving. Yes. Okay. Hey, Rob. How are
you? Hey. I'm fine. Sitting up here listening to the interview, but then half sleep.
Wake up. We on the air.
No, I'm tired. But I'm okay. Allergies,
okay.
But I'm okay. I'm doing fine.
Well, I feel special that you called in. Everybody, this is producer, extraordinary Grammy-nominated producer, Mr. Rob Diggy out of Chicago, and I have to tell you guys, I want to introduce you to Rob because this gentleman is going to be doing something, some stuff on my new record, and I have to tell you how, you know, he touched me and moved me when I put out an Indiegogo video, which we'll get into later. I don't want to ruin the order of Ron's show, but Rob Diggy actually happened to see that video, and he reached out to me on Facebook, and he said, listen, I want to lend a song to your album. Well, me, you know, growing up and reading all these books about the music business and knowing how one word could mean something different, so I emailed him. He said, inbox me if this is something that sounds good to you. I said, I inboxed him and I said, now you're going to lend me a song or you donating a song? Because lending means I got to pay you back, and donate means you're free.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent back, well, I've never heard anyone say they can lend you some music, so that means donating. So
right.
I wanted to share that story because he was really moved by my testimony, which we'll get into later. But, you know, provided that we can, you know, increase his numbers on the Indiegogo fund, I don't want him to do numerous songs for free. I'm grateful for the blessing and the one song. But when I tell you that he has sent me some incredible music and wanted to create with me from scratch, I feel like I've got to have more than one song from him on the
record. Oh, yeah, definitely.
He is the bomb. And for those of you who don't know, or, you know, Google Rob Diggy, and I'll have him give you guys his Twitter information and Facebook so you can read about his credits and just know that he has had the pleasure to work on some of the incredible Beyonce hits that we all love today. So I think that
mm-hmm.
in itself speaks of this gentleman's credibility. So, Rob, tell the people where they can find you in case there's some other great artists out there looking for
yeah.
top they can find me
on Facebook. It's kind of hard, but it's Composer, the number 4, Films with a Z, F-I-L-M-Z. That's Facebook. And then just Google me under Rob Diggy and it comes up. Twitter is Rob Diggy 1. And that's about it. I mean, I'm just all over the web. I'm on the web every day.
And I have to say, yes, Rob is a film composer as well for all
yes,
the directors
yes,
out
yes.
there. So, you You know, I meant to plug in my team and my family, but I must say I'm extremely grateful to have Robbie as part of my team, and we're going to make this magic happen and bring you guys to some music that moves your soul and really touches your heart. So
I'm looking forward to doing more than one, at least two songs. I mean, if I can do two, that'd be great. But I do understand the process. But I do have a vision for putting together some very nice music, you know, and we'll get it done.
We're going to get it done, Rob. I'm claiming that, too. So I'm excited about what we've already discussed and what I know we're getting ready to do. So
well,
I'm
so
glad
so much.
You could call in and then
yes.
You took a break from your nap. Yay.
I was telling LaTanya, Rob, last night, I did the same thing, though. I went to Florida for a little trip, and I came back, and I was like 10 miles from home, pulled into a rest stop at 12:30, and when I woke up, it was 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
That's exhausting.
You gotta get some rest, and I know how that is. And even tomorrow, I have a busy schedule with clients here at home, so my work never ends. It's always work, you know.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely about the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me and, you know, and everything. I'm just looking forward to a great project, and let's do it.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much, Rob, for calling me.
Thank you so much, Ryan. And you guys take care and God bless. And I just look forward to being, like I said, being a part of something great, you know.
Same here, you know. We're going to do this thing together. It's about the team.
No problem.
I can't get it done without you guys, so please know that.
We'll
and I don't take it for granted at all.
We'll get it. Okay. Well, take care.
Take care, you too.
And God bless. All right.
You too. God bless.
Okay. Say bye-bye.
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 Aww. All this love, LaTanya.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh, our board is lit up. I mean, the list is too long. Well, you're popular. You're making it. Everything's going to be such a success. You know, you're heading in the right direction. You've got a fabulous team working with you, behind you, backing you. It's a blessing. It's a true, true blessing.
It is. You know what, Ron, it is. And I have to tell everybody about, you know, how you're blessing me as well. You know, guys, Ron is no different from the others, Rob, Diggy, Narda, Allie. He's part of the team, and this man has so much going on. And Ron is pretty much he's a great publicist, but he, too, is donating, you know, to help me get the word out about the project and all the stuff that I have going on. And so this show that you're listening to is his baby, and he's taken the time to have me on and pull away from other things that he has going on because he believes in me so much. And so I just want to give you a shout out while we're waiting to take the next caller, Ron, and tell you that
okay.
I don't take for granted what you're doing and what you've done and your vision and the plans that you shared with me that, you know, you want to, you know, enforce later. And I'm telling you, guys, I don't know when Ron sleeps because he's down in South Carolina, 3 hours ahead of me. And I go to bed with something from Ron. I wake up with something from Ron. I give text, tweets, emails, Facebook about, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Hey, I thought we should do. So I say that to say in the middle of all that he has going on outside of helping LaTanya Holmes, he is still making LaTanya Holmes a priority to him because he, too, really does believe in me. And so, you know, I am so blessed and grateful for the people that, you know, that are coming into my life. And, you know, even for those that have been taken away for whatever reasons, I will not question it. There are no accidents. And so, Ron, I say thank you so much. And from the bottom of my heart, I can't thank you enough. And, yeah, it makes me get a little teary-eyed here because it's just like, wow, it's happening. It's happening
me
to
too.
The right people. are coming. So thank you, Ron, for being one of those.
Well, you're very welcome, LaTanya. You know, you've been there from the beginning. I do believe in you, and you have a lot, like I said, you've got a lot of love and a lot of backup behind you, and it's a true blessing. And I'm happy to be on the team, and I thank you for allowing me to be able to help you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's take another call. Are you ready?
Absolutely. I'm ready. Okay.
Okay. Hold on here.
Okay.
Hello. You're on Hear It Now Live Radio.
Hello.
Hi. Who are we speaking to?
Felicia Fields.
Felicia. Oh, my God. This woman, remember I said I went to college in Chicago at Roosevelt University? I had no family there, and I only knew Jenna from high school, and I had some distant cousins there, but they lived on the other side of town. Felicia P. Field, everybody. This woman took me in. She wrapped me under her arms. She wrapped me under her wings. She is my mentor. She paved the way for me. She fed me when I got sick of dormitory food. She came and got me and fed me and took me to buy new shoes or whatever the case may be if I wanted to get out of downtown Chicago because I lived in the dorms and you know, sometimes it was just nice to go to somebody's house. And so she and her family embraced me, her mom, her sister. Her kids are really like my nieces and nephews. And we have done several shows together. We did a Hot Mikado at the Marriott. She was the Effie White role in Dreamgirls at the Marriott Lincolnshire. And then she and I went on to, you know, rekindle in the Broadway, the Color Purple National Tour. So Fifi has been a rock to me, and she still is to this day. She tells me all the time, God serves no wine before his time. When I didn't understand why something didn't happen for me the way I thought it was supposed to happen, you know, back then in college, even, you know, with the Color Purple at the time, I was devastated when I was offered the standby role, and I have to keep it real. I wanted the role. And so it's like, what do you mean you offered me a standby? But she made it plain for me. She said, listen, God serves no wine before his time. There's a reason for everything. And now that I'm on this phone and now, you know, I'm working with my dream producer, Narda Michael Walden, and Allie Willis, one of my dream writers, since we met and formed the friendship during Color Purple, I know now what Felicia meant by that. And so, Fifi, I love you to death. I cannot thank you enough. And I'm looking so forward to what's next for us. And I wouldn't be here in this place and space today if it wasn't for all that you instilled in me once I left home and I didn't have my mom and dad right there with me. They were a phone call away, but you were a drive away. And so I have to say thank you for all the times when I cussed you out. I didn't know. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. You know, I'm not trying to hear what you're talking about right now. I didn't understand, but she knew because, you know, this is a wise, wise, wise woman and an incredible talent and an amazing mother, sister, and daughter. And I love you, Fee, and I'm glad that you called in. I don't know if you had a question for me or a comment to make, but I had to let the people know who you are to me. And I have to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Fee, are you there?
Stunned.
Did we leave loser?
No, I thought... Are you still there? Hello? Yeah, it appears as though her line was cut off. She might have been calling from a cell phone. You know how you lose signal. So she may call back here. Let's see.
And she was with Sophia. I don't know if I told you guys what role. She was Sophia on Broadway, as well as on the tour that I did, Oprah Winfrey Presents National Tour of the Color Purple. Felicia P. Fields, everybody. She was Tony nominated for the role of Sophia, the Oprah Winfrey role. So this woman has truly blessed me in so many ways, and I can't thank her enough.
Let's see here. It looked like the same number popped up.
That's me. That's me.
Okay, you're back.
We lost you for a minute there.
You know what happened? I am so technologically challenged. I was trying to get my daughter, how do you blog? I know it's so sad, but I got the number off the computer, but both of us called, okay? So she was talking on her phone and hung up, but we can hear everything you said.
Okay, good.
I called to bless you. Woman, don't be bragging on me. I'm bragging on you.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet and receive it.
She is an exceptional talent and such a pretty person that I had to talk her out of wanting the role of Celia. She didn't understand. All she knew was, I can act it, I can do it. But she wasn't recognizing that. I don't care how much love they put on her face. It was not believable that she was ugly. And I'm not saying that ugly, but she, you know, there was the way the story is written, you just couldn't believe that Mr. Wood had passed her up for anybody, okay? I am so proud of you pursuing your dream. It's a beautiful, because I can remember when Felton and all of us listening, to, you got to Google this. Yes. I heard some of the early works, and you keep doing it and keep doing it until you get it to the right level. And everything comes to you in time. Because you don't want to put out something that's junk. And here you are in the midst of all the people that we've met on our journey. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the apex of why you were on board. Mm-hmm. We can't see things, but certainly, you know, there's a reason for everything in life. Mm-hmm. And here we are, we know Allie. And we wouldn't have known her if it wasn't for the color purple.
Correct.
So your knowledge of who you've met and who you connected with along the way is all for you. All for something that you had been destined to achieve. So this is a really wonderful thing. And I like I said, I'm so technologically challenged. Making fun of me. Trying to tell her, don't make fun of me. I'm old, but I'm still.
Lucy, leave alone. Hey, Lucy.
And we're so proud of you. We are really proud of you, and we're excited for you. And if I had $1 million, I'd throw it right into your pot.
Oh, praise God.
I'm going to encourage every human being to invest in something that will be a success.
Wow.
We're gonna keep our fingers crossed and pray about it because we know what happens in God's own time.
Yes.
And everything we learn, everything we learn, the good things and the bad things we learn along the way are all to make it perfection. Because when you represent God, you got to come out unordinary. You can't come out like everybody else. You got to come out of there. And you about to do that, girl.
Oh. thank you.
And I'm so excited for you.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Thank you.
So we want you to know we were listening.
Yes.
And, we encourage you and we pray for you. And we know that you are going to come across to minister to many.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You haven't talked about your accident, have you?
Not yet. Mm-mm.
Okay.
But you can say what you'd like to say. No,
well, I just want to say that, you know, that was a very tragic happening. There's a lot of things that happened to us on the road, and it took you out of the game for a while. But then you got to go through some things to have a testimony. And see, now you got a testimony.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're right.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. And thank you, Steve. And I love you all.
Thank you, and we love you, and we're going to let some of the other people that love you come on the phone. Some people are not technologically challenged.
But you figured it out, and that's the most important part, is that you got through.
Yeah,
Lucy
has figured it out. And
okay,
happy Mother's Day to Bailey's mother.
Yes, and happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day.
Okay, dear. You all have a good show, and we'll be listening. And be blessed.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Love you.
Thank you. Thank you. We love you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So much love.
Oh,
so much love.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's amazing. We got another one. Let's grab another one here. They've been on hold for 10 minutes. We need to put them on. That's some dedication. That is some dedication. Hold on. Hello, you're on Hear It Now Live Radio with Latonya Holmes. Who are we speaking to?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Who are we speaking to?
My name is Sharon Wilkins. And I've been on hold a long time listening to all the praises that are well-deserved. Ron, I'm quite sure you probably know by now that you have one of the most amazing person in your studio right now. She is incredibly talented. I can't even tell you. I had the honor and the pleasure and the blessing of working with her in Dreamgirls, in the production of Dreamgirls, where I first met her. We've been friends throughout over the last 15, 18 years. And I can tell you how special she is and how, people have no idea, the outside world. When her music does come out and the world is blessed with it and they hear it, they'll be like, oh, my God, where is this person? Where has she been? She's been here, but it's just that her dream, it's the time now for her dreams to be realized because she is that incredible and that special, and I'm so honored to call her friend. And just listening to, I mean, she can sing, she can act, she can dance. I mean, she's talent just oozes from her. So I had to call her. I was gonna wait a half an hour if I had to wait. So I was gonna wait anyway, just to let her know that we're here for you. Your dreams are gonna come true. Your Indiegogo campaign is going to be blessed. And you just keep following your dreams, and you keep doing it because our dreams are what make us what we are. And I know because many of my dreams have come true.
Yeah.
And I hope to have you for a friend. So keep pushing on, and I'll be at every concert, every platinum album, party.
I receive all these praises from her, you guys, but I have to tell you, too, you just hung up. Felicia Fields just hung up, and Felicia was our FE in the production I did in Chicago. I didn't talk about going on to New York to do the production of Dreamgirls again, and Sharon Wilkins was our FE. And so it's a blessing to still have both of them in my life and to be true friends and mentors. These women are incredible. Sharon has now moved to Los Angeles, and she literally lives about 10 minutes from me. But when I did make the decision to move to New York after doing Dreamgirls at the Paper Mill Playhouse, still an incredible theater to this day, I decided after numerous approaches by agents and from agents and getting more work that I'm going to stay here in New York. And I didn't have a place to go to. And Sharon says, listen, I have an extra bedroom. You can be my roommate until you find your own spot. She knew me, but she didn't know me, but that was the kind of bond that she and I developed in Dreamgirls in New Jersey at the Paper Mill Playhouse. And as she stated, to this day, she and I are still friends. And we're not just old passing by friends. We're friends. I just saw her two nights ago. We have keys to each other's homes out here in Los Angeles. So she's an incredible talent. And you're going to be seeing more of her as well. She's already graced the big screen in films such as
Bad Boys.
Okay,
that's enough about me. Can we continue to talk about you?
I got to let the people know. type of friends that I'm blessed to have. You know, so I don't use the word friend lightly. She's a friend. And so thank you, Sharon, for calling in. And
I love you. There's no one out there better. People have no idea. When your music comes out, they're going to see. I mean, no one out there is comparable to you. Rihanna, Beyonce, all of them. Yes, they're very talented, but they don't have what you have. So the people will see it. I'm so excited for you, knowing that you will be out there blessing all of us. And Ron, thank you for your support. We want to be supportive of you because, you know, we're all in this together. And I just thank you guys for allowing me to call in and listen, and I'm going to continue to listen. And, Latanya, I look forward to seeing all your dreams come true.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you. Love you.
Thank you, Ron.
Bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dang, Ron, I didn't know I was going to be crying today. I'm over here like,
I know. I'm choking up here now. Let's get it together. We've got to keep our composure right now. Oh, that's beautiful. It's a beautiful, touching thing, you know. So much love and response and all the people backing you and everything. And we want the public to know and everybody out there listening that Latanya is something that's going to be out there. As A. Scott Galloway put it, people will be taking notice. People will be taking notice. And that's a quote from A. Scott Galloway. Another one of your awesome people that's been helping you and donating some awesome time to.
Absolutely. You know, with all, if you're listening, thank you.
Really, really, thank you very much. Incredible writings that this man does.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of a lot of the, hearing from a lot of the testimonials from the people that are calling in about your acting skills and so forth, what other roles have you appeared in? I mean, including commercials and voice roles.
Let's see. Commercials, the most recent commercial I had was a Toyota commercial that aired for a couple of years. It actually just stopped airing a few months ago. Started out as a local spot, turned into regional, turned into national, and it got like an 11 lift. What that means is, it was a blessing. So Toyota, let's see, AT&T with Marlon Wayans, Tampax, Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's commercials, that's on-camera national television commercials, scattered throughout the years. I also was a series regular on an incredible cartoon called Clifford's Puppy Days, which was a spinoff of Clifford's The Big Red Dog. And that was... We were on for two or three years on PBS, but I was a series regular, Flo the Kitten, and then I guest starred as two other roles. So I was three roles on that show, but my series regular was Flo the Kitten in the animation world, and I've done tons of radio voiceovers, again, McDonald's, Coca-Cola products, and oh boy, I can't even think of all the voiceover commercials, commercials, and... And the theater, I did the Broadway National Tour, Little Shop of Horrors, the first national. And then as we've been talking about the first national tour of The Color Purple. And I'm scheduled to play the role of Sylvia in Alonzo Anderson's upcoming film, Stepsisters, this summer, if everything stays on schedule. I'll be playing Kiki Palmer's young, hot, sassy mom. And I am also going to be participating on the soundtrack. Not sure yet exactly what I'll be doing. Alonzo has spoken to me about possibly recording the theme song, but, that is not written in stone. That's not a definite, so I don't want to mislead anyone. But he has assured me that I will be on the soundtrack singing. And hopefully writing as a writer, but that the writing part isn't guaranteed. But I definitely am slated to play the role of Sylvia and perform one of the songs on the Stepsister soundtrack. And the movie will be directed by Billy Woodruff, Alonzo Anderson, who is a Warner Robins, Georgia native who I grew up with in junior high and high school, has written this script, and it's an amazing script and film. And I'm very excited about that upcoming project this summer if everything stays on schedule. So those are just a few of the things that I've done, and that's one of the things that on my plate, in addition to putting out this first single, Stand Up, and hopefully going on to make an album if all needs are met.
Wow, super. All this material is on your website. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. You want to tell us a little about your website and how people can find it?
Absolutely. I have a newly launched website, and again, I'm all about, you know, I receive the blessings that are coming my way, but I also like to bless people and give back. And like I said, you know, this is all wonderful, but without my team, I am nothing. Without God, first and foremost, I am nothing. And without my family, first and foremost, I am nothing. So I have to thank my team. There's a gentleman named Trab. Trab is actually in India. Yes. I put out a tweet because I wanted to have a WordPress. I tore down my old website, and I'm thankful to my friend Brian Cameron, who, you know, was the man behind that website for many years, but it was this time for change. And I wanted a WordPress website, and I put out calls here to people that were referred to me, and they wanted buku crazy money. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Really? No. Like, really? $1,500, like $2,000, really? No. So I decided, you know what, let's see what this Twitter stuff is all about. Let's see how this social media thing really was. Let's see what happens. And I tweeted, I said, hey, are there any incredible WordPress web developers out there who aren't a fortune, but your work is incredible? That's exactly what I wanted. And
you got a tremendous response on that one?
I did, and you know what? And some other people that didn't get the gig, they had some incredible websites, and I've actually referred a few people to other people because, you know, everybody's not comfortable with working with someone that's not in the country. So, but Trav, I have to say, he sent the most incredible tweet back to me, and then he asked for my email address, and I sent him an email address, and he took the time to tell me exactly what it was he would do, he and his team, how they would do it. Yes, we're in India, but I promise you, you will never have a problem contacting me. And he didn't lie. Again, Ron, he's like you. I don't know when he sleeps because India, they're 13 hours ahead of me. So when it's 11 a.m. here, it's midnight there. So But I'm telling you, Prab and his team, they worked around the clock to make me happy, to make sure I had exactly what I wanted. And together we created a website that I'm extremely proud of because, you know, I'm not the most tech-savvy person either, especially when it comes to websites. And, you know, that's why I wanted WordPress. I'm like, I need something that I'll be able to change and fast. So I could go on and on about it, but I wanted to thank Prab and his incredible team in India and let you guys know that if you are looking for a great website, you can see Frapp information at the bottom of my website. It says Designed by Chirag Solutions, C-H-I-R-A-G as in George, and contact him or contact me. You know, my email address is on the website, and I can send you his information. You can find him on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. But you can see the website. Please, please, guys, go to the website because crazed with all that's going on right now, I am going to try to do everything from the website. I'm going to blog with you guys from my website, the posting, everything that's going on with me and my career. It's going to be on my website as opposed to me having to post on Facebook, on three or four different Facebook pages, two Twitter accounts. One, you know, it's a lot on me. So Trav and I have come up. Everything is literally on my website, which you can find at www.LaTanyaHomes, that's LaTanyaHomes.com. So it's www.LaTanyaHomes.com. You can even start, you know, conversing with me now on there. You can send me blog comments and questions, and I promise you, I do respond. I do try to answer emails, but just so you know, it's going to be my one-stop shop pretty soon, because that's the whole purpose and why I had it done, is so that it's simple, simple for me, and it's simple for you to communicate with me in one spot and see all that's going to be going on with the music, with the acting, and just with me in general in my career. So I'm excited about this new website. So go check it out. Please check it out.
Yeah, please check that out. It's amazing. I'm impressed by it, too.
Incredible
work. And it's going to be a lot easier on you also, like you said, being able to do everything from one specific area and not be spread out.
Definitely.
Most
definitely.
But, Tanya, I think I want the listeners to hear one of your recordings off your Love Me, Just For Me CD, and it's titled So Sensitive, and we're going to take a little break here. Get some H2O, and let's go ahead and play this, and we'll be back in a few minutes. And this portion of this segment is also brought to you by Andres Jewelers, one of my sponsors in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and they specialize in jewelry for entertainers.
Mm.
And here we go. Tanya, this was discussed just a moment ago also by one of the callers, that while you were performing on the role of Nettie in The Color Purple, you fell victim of a terrible staging accident. Could you tell us what happened?
Yes. We were the fight scene, for those of you who know The Color Purple, the fight scene when the character Mr. breaks Feely and Nettie up and splits them up and, you know, sends Nettie away so that Feely can never see her again. In the staging production, there was a big fight scene that happens and Mr. Pushes Nettie, and it looks like he pushes her so hard that's the way to get rid of her. And he says, you know, don't come back, be gone, and all of that. That particular night, the combat went wrong, and the gentleman that was on for the role of Mr. accidentally pushed me too hard, and he was a very big guy, and instead of, you know, making it look as though he pushed me down, and I'm really controlling myself, and I get myself off the stage. He actually did push me, and pushed me so hard that I actually fell, and I slid, and I was unable to stop myself. And the way that I was stopped was that there was a wooden set piece that lived in the stage right wing from the previous scene, and I slid into that and hit my left temple and was knocked unconscious. The last thing I remembered was looking up and seeing my feet still on stage enough that the audience could still see them. And I slid myself, the rest of my body onto stage, my feet. And according to the head carpenter and our fight captain at the time, Tracy, they told me, because I was unconscious and I woke up, when I did wake up, I was in an ambulance heading to the emergency room in Michigan. But they told me they thought I was dead. It was so hard. And Herbie said, you know, he saw it and he heard it. He was our head carpenter and he thought she's dead. But that's what happened. It was just a freak accident. And it changed my life. I was told I would never perform again. I'm fast forwarding because it's a very long story, so I'm going to fast forward. After, you know, being treated at the emergency room in Michigan, I went back into the show a couple of nights later thinking I was okay, and I wasn't. Only to get to Toronto to find out that things were not good, and I was given a happy trail, and the doctor in Toronto took me out of the show and sent me home. And then the search for the best doctor started here in Los Angeles for a neurologist. I was diagnosed with the worst case of post-concussion syndrome there is, which included vertigo, muscle spasms, loss of vision in my left eye, developed a twitch in my left eye. I was blind in my left eye, but thank God I can see again. I do wear glasses, but I wear them as needed now. And I was told I was under the care of four doctors, a neurologist, a psychiatrist, an ophthalmologist, and a physical therapist. For 2 years straight, I saw these four doctors a week. Well, physical therapist isn't necessarily a doctor, but I saw her and the other three every week for 2 years. And I was told by my neurologist that it wasn't looking likely that I would ever perform again because of my reaction visually to fluorescent lighting. As you know, most theater productions, commercials, TV, film, you're in a lot of fluorescent light. So the reaction that caused, what happened was my brain nerves and my eye nerves were not completely out of sync. And so it was like I was a baby starting all over again, just at my age, and you know, to be told that I would never perform again was quite devastating. So of course, naturally, I became deeply depressed. I was never suicidal, thank God. I'm never going to kill myself. So something happens and they say I killed myself. That's not true, but
thank God.
But I was very depressed, and I was very angry, and I didn't understand why this happened to me, and how could God let this happen, and, you know, why me? Why me? But one day I realized that's not helping me, you know, it's hurting me, it's keeping me down, and I already have to go. I have to go see these four doctors a week, embrace it and heal, or not embrace it and stay in this place. And so one day I woke up and I was like, I'm not doing this way anymore. There's got to be another way. I don't want to take any more medicine. I don't want to rely on, you know, I'm going to suffer through the headache. I don't want to take a pill. I don't want this handicapped parking pass anymore. I don't want this. I'm not handicapped, you know. So, you know, all I can say is nobody but God. Nobody but God and my family. Yes, and the close friends, some you've heard from, Felicia Fields and Sharon, and my parents and my brother, my family, a close friend of mine in Chicago, Ivan, you know, praying for me, Angela and Rufus. I don't want to get into all the names, but I have to tell you that there were specific people during this time that I know had they not been praying with me and for me and on the phone, even though Felicia and Rufus and Angela were still on the Color Purple Tour, Sue and Leslie. Every time they had a break, they were calling me to check on me. Sue and Leslie live in Los Angeles, and Rufus, whenever they came home, they came to see me, and they sat with me, and they prayed for me, and they told me, you're going to be all right, Miss Peach. You're going to make it through this. You can do this. You are going to perform again. You can't give up. And so, you know, hearing my dad, you're at home. We don't quit. We fight. You're at home. Get up. Fight. You know, I told my dad, Daddy, I don't think I'm going to perform anymore. I guess I'm done. Because honestly, the first 6 months, I wanted no one to see me because I was dysfunctional. I couldn't drive myself. A lot of times I had to get a ride to my doctor's appointments or take a car service. And then because of the vision, they're like, you know, we don't want you to drive yet, you know. So then I had to go through the DMV and get the temporary disabled handicap parking pass. And you know, I was embarrassed about the glasses. I'd never worn glasses before. So I had a lot of insecurities that, you know, were brought on. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it. I'm thankful to God that I'm here to talk about it, because I hope that my story and my testimony will encourage somebody out there right now that's going through something similar or exactly the same that as I went through. And I'm here to tell you, my sister, my brother, you can make it through it. You will make it through it. Turn to God first, and only those people around you who are about feeding you positivity. Because I'm telling you, there are some people out there who will say, girl, I know how you feel, and you're a child, and this and that. That's not what you want to hear. You need those people that's going to tell you what you think you don't want to hear when you're going through it, because those are the people who really, really, really have their best interest, because what they're doing is they're instilling that will in you to fight again and rise again. So that is what happened. I am back. I was gone for 2 consecutive years. I actually go by and say hello to some of my doctors. I still love my psychiatrist to this day. She's amazing. And I don't see her for sessions anymore, but I still love her because she taught me to fight, too. I mean, there were days where I would go in and I didn't want to talk. I'd say, because also we're going to look at each other today, huh? They actually had to push me from a different psychiatrist. Initially, I started out with a male psychiatrist, but I intimidated him because he was in the very beginning stages. And you got to remember, I've always thought seeing a psychiatrist was a bad thing. Crazy people see psychiatrists. Well, I'm here to tell you, to me, the ones that won't go are crazy, because it's an outlet. It's an outlet to talk to someone that's not judgmental. It's an outlet to talk to someone who's going to tell you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear, if you get the right one. But my first one, he was a little intimidated, and I could just go there and sit because I thought, I'm not crazy. Why are they having me sit in a stupid psychiatrist? I don't want to be here. I have nothing to say, and I'm not going to talk. Don't take me out of this group therapy. I was mad. I was very angry, and I was angry with the world. I was mad at God. Why me? And so now I know why me, because I'm not afraid to talk about it. I'm not afraid to embrace it. I'm not afraid to go back if I have to. I wouldn't change anything that happened. You know, and some people say that's weird, so if you had to do it all over again, you would experience it again. And my answer is yes, because it taught me to appreciate the small things.
Yeah.
Sunlight. You know, I woke up today. I still have a mother and father to call. You know, I get to say Happy Mother's Day to my mother in a few hours. I know she'll be here in a few hours. You know, thankful for food on my table that, you know, so what if I don't want to go out to eat? I have a refrigerator and freezer that stocks with food. So I wouldn't change any of it. It made me stronger. It made me wiser. It has humbled me tremendously, and it has shown me, you know, that if you continue to believe in your dreams and believe in who you are and, you know, keep a strong circle of people around you and let the ones that don't belong go and not question it, everything will be all right. But it starts with you. It starts within yourself. It starts within me is what I'm trying to say here. And until you make a conscious decision to get up and fight back, no one else can do it for you, no matter how many prayers there are going out for you. You have to make up your mind that this is not the way I'm going out. Nobody is going to take away God's gift to me. And because I knew he wasn't done using me, and now I know why. Because had I got a chance to work with Narda Michael Wadgins 5 years ago, I wasn't ready. But you couldn't have told me that 5 years ago. You know, 2009 Color Purple Tour, what do you mean standby? I'm used to being the lead. So it brought me back. It brought me back. It showed me, you know what,
Amen.
You're never too good. You're never too good. Receive the opportunity. And I learned a lot from Jeanette Bardell, our Steely. I learned a lot from Latoya London, our Nettie. You know, I don't take for granted the work that these women did. So when I hit the stage every night, I wanted to live up to their performances and then some, because they brought it every time they hit the stage. But when I first got that job offer, I was devastated. I thought it was an insult. And then I realized how many other people would have killed to have my job. You know, and you never know until it's gone. I miss my cast. I miss my close friends that I made in that cast. And Brenda Russell said something to me in Toronto when they announced that they were having the doctors were taking me out of the show. She said, "Get ready, child." She said, "This is going to show you. You're getting ready to go through it." She said, "You're going to see exactly who your true friends are and who some of them are not." And she said, "And I'm going to tell you, it's going to hurt." She said, "But you receive it. And you get up and you fight." And so the composers from that show, Brenda Russell, those were her direct words to me as she kissed me goodbye. And Allie Willis and Stephen Bray, they held my hand even though they weren't physically holding my hand. I got cards, I got emails, I got prayers, I got flowers from them. They checked on me. And I never forgot Brenda's words, because that did happen. I lost some people that I thought were some of my closest friends, but I realized they were a season, and I still love them today. But we had our time, and I wish them well, and I'm grateful, grateful, grateful to just be able to share my story, and I hope that I'm encouraging and inspiring somebody out there to get up and fight back, and don't give up. If you're
I'm
still
sure
here, you know what I mean, Ron? If, somebody told you you're supposed to be dead, God has the final say. That's really all I have to say.
Praise the Lord in his ways. Thank God that you're okay.
Absolutely. So I didn't mean to interrupt.
There's one thing that I was really, really curious about when you had spoken to one of the other callers, too, that, you know, while you were attending that Grammy Museum event, you said that an amazing thing happened to you there. Can you give us some details of
yes.
I want to hear about that.
Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes. Well, Narda Michael Walden has been my dream producer since, like I said, I think Whitney first hit, was it How Will I Know I Want to Dance with My Eyes, 1987, little girl, you know, I heard it, oh, my God, who did this song? Oh, my God, this is it. Well, he's been my dream producer from that day to this day. And he and I have been friends on Facebook, I guess, ever since I've been on Facebook. I'm sure he's probably one of the first people that I went and asked to be my friend and accepted. And long story short, he and I started conversing via Facebook, and I'm a bold person. I take chances. I'm not afraid to be told, no, I'm tired of asking, you shall receive. If you don't ask, you'll never know. So I asked him on Facebook, if, you know, please, people, don't harass the man. Don't start sending him a million Facebook emails and all that. He's a wonderful guy, but come on now. but I did. I reached out to him, and I told him, you know, a little bit about myself, and I told him, you know, that I was making a comeback, and, you know, I didn't get into my story because I wasn't trying to be the victim and make him feel sorry for me and that stuff.
Right.
And I just told him, he was, yeah, it's like you're my dream producer, and I see, you know, like a few of my teachers, and I'm dying to work with you. I'm making a comeback, and I'm trying to make a new record, you know, been gone for 3 years, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I said, what will it take that's legal, moral, and ethical to get you to do a song on me? And he said, well, I have to hear you first. He said, I have to hear you first, child.
Yeah.
And so I sent him So Sensitive, and he says, wow, yeah, you can sing, and I love that track. Nice church chords, Whitney chords, you know, and so... Uh-huh. We've been having these email conversations for months, and finally he's coming to the Grammy Museum. You know, they did this wonderful exhibit with me, and so he came and he did a night, and I had a book signing. He wrote an incredible book about Whitney, and I went, I emailed him and told him I was going to be coming. He says, great, we finally get to meet in person, you know, and he says, Crazy asked me, what Whitney songs do you know? And I thought, oh, God, is this man you're asking me to do? You know, but it ended up wonderful. A wonderful lady, Shalea, was the vocalist that night, and she's incredible. God, this girl can sing. But anyway, long story short, I went to the Grammy Museum to his book signing and finally met him in person, and he spent quite a bit of time with us afterwards. I mean, the woman at the Grammy Museum who was overseeing, I mean, there was a lot of people waiting to have their book signed by him, but he literally took me under his wings and come on, move out, and he just stood there and he talked to me and he took pictures with me and Aaron and another producer, and we got Tracy's on the line, Ron. Tracy Carter happened to be there playing keys for him that night, and so it was wonderful because now I'm with Tracy Carter, who's the one producer here in Los Angeles who's believed in me from day one. He's actually the man behind the song you just heard, So Sensitive. He actually is the man behind the remake of Love Hangover, the snippet that you guys heard at the beginning. So I'm here with Tracy and Narda.
Okay,
it's like, missing now is Hershey Boone and Felton. But, you know, so it was just a magical moment to finally meet him in person, and he treated me like I was one of his own, and I'm telling you, it was magical, and it was at that point that, you know, Allie, I had an extra ticket that night, and I had emailed Alex, what are you doing, because I know they worked together, and I knew she adored him, and she and I had already agreed that she was going to do something, we were going to do a song together that, you know, she would write. I tried to get her to just give me a song out of her vault. She says, no way. We're going to write together, young lady. You're a writer. And that's huge because
wow.
You don't know who Allie Willis is. Like I said, she co-wrote September, Earth, Wind & Fire, Boogie Wonderland. I mean, I could go on and on, Neutron Dance. So she says to me, no, we're going to write this together. I'm not pulling anything out of a vault and just giving you something. So I said to Narda, I said, Allie sent her love. She couldn't go. She had another meeting, dinner meeting. And so she said, give Narda my love. Oh, my God, I love him. I haven't seen him in quite a while, but give him my love. I'd love for us to work together again. So I told him, and he said, we're going to make it happen. So by now, he has to go because, like I said, there were tons of people waiting for him to sign their book. And we started sending each other all the pictures we sent that night, took that night. And the next day, you know, we started emailing, and the next couple of days, and then I said, I told Allie, you know, I told you hi for her because I love her. And I said, oh, my God, why didn't I think of this? I said, hey, I said, well, she and I are supposed to write a song together. And she says what she means, and she means what she says, and she doesn't beat around the bush about it. And I love her for it. Because there were other producers that I wanted her to work with. And she said, well, I've worked with them before, and, you know, I really want to work with some of the new, fresh, funky, young producers you're working with. And so Allie loves you, you love Allie. I said, we were supposed to write a song together, but we have something that's missing. It's called The Producer. I said, how'd you like to, you know, would you produce the song, whatever song it was that you were going to do? Do you think that it could be the three of us and me, you, and Allie could do a song together? Because I know that makes her really happy. He sent back, he says, I love Allie Willis. He says anything for Allie Willis, you got it, kid. And I forwarded it to Allie, and the conversation started, and he says 2013, this could be, the Grammy Museum event was the end of November of last year, and he says beginning of 2013, we're going to work together. And he kept his word, and in January, we started figuring out schedules because they're crazy busy, and Allie sent when she was available. And I'm telling you, the 2 days that we went up to San Francisco to work with him, he didn't have those days available. His assistant was moving things around. You know why? Because he says whatever Allie wants, Allie gets. And he says to me, you know, I love Allie and I adore her, and I'm beginning to love and adore you like you're one of my own. So we're going to make this happen. And so in 2 days, the dates were on the calendar.
Wow.
And
quick.
Magic happened at Tarkan Studios, and I just got the mastered mix for the single Stand Up a couple of days ago from him and his incredible engineer, Jim Leiter, and
can't wait.
We're hoping to release it in June for you guys, and I'm so excited that that's the magic that happened at the Grammy Museum. And I can keep going on and on, but Ron, I want us to take a call because I think we got Mr. Tracy Carter on the line, and this man, I want you guys to talk to.
Okay, and also, too, before we go, we need to go over your Indiegogo campaign. So let's go ahead and take this caller. Let's go ahead and take a call. They've been on 20 minutes, so this is super dedication here.
Oh, my God.
Hello, you're on Hear It Now Live Radio.
Yeah,
hello. Hey, Tracy, how are you?
How are you?
Good.
What up, Tracy? Hey, Tracy!
What is that? Oh.
I'm sorry I didn't recognize that phone number. I should have.
Oh, that was funny.
Tracy, you guys have, Tracy was in rehearsal, and so he says, I'm like, I gotta call in, because I need the people to know about this man. To me, he's one of the best kept secrets in the industry, and I, you know, he's not a secret anymore. He was. Let me change that, because now the brother's, you know, the man behind Chaka Khan, the keyboard player on Star Trek. He's doing amazing things with Daryl Albright, and yeah, this is supposed to be an interview with me and about me, but sometimes you got to step aside and give props to your people because, like I said earlier, when Tracy wasn't even on the phone, Tracy has believed in me since the first day I went up to him at Faithful Central Bible Church and asked him, we were introduced and we did a play together for the church. And I said, you know, I have this situation going on with the label production deal, and I wondered, you know, could you do some songs on me? And I'd asked several producers out here that were big time and, you know, working with the already platinum artists out here, and they kind of passed on me, like, who are you or whatever, you got some money or what can you bring to the table? But Tracy was just the opposite. He says, sure, let's talk about it. And I tell you, we went in, and that song, So Sensitive, that you just heard, that was from my debut EP in 2008. Tracy and I actually did that song quite some time ago. But as Mr. Kenny Gamble says, it's one of his favorite songs, and it's timeless, and it will forever be timeless. And we have several songs that we've done that no one's even heard but us. And close friends. And Tracy's trying to get me to resurface some of them. And I don't know, we might, but we got so much heat that we've done together and that we're working on. I just want to take this time to tell you, you know, when people are loyal to you, when you are considered nothing and nobody, a boo is she, and she, you know, she's all right, don't have no money, you know, God blesses us with people that see your vision and they see your talent and they know your heart. thing. They take on projects because, not because you're paying them a lot of money, but because they believe in you. That's what Tracy Carter, Herschel Boone, and Felton O'Farrell have done for me. And Herschel, I know, called in and he had to go, and I think Felton is in a rehearsal, but I like for people to know about these three producers, incredible musicians, and incredible artists as well, because I can truly say that when it comes to having people believe in you, these are three of the most incredibly talented producers, songwriters, talent, musicians. They all play or sing. I don't know what they can't do. Tracy has spent hours with me, and he because he's such a phenomenal singer as well, it's like, you're not, what is that? I really, Tanya, you thought that was not the business. So I just want to thank Tracy, and I want to give him props because, like I said, he did the Love Hangover remake that we've done that will be on my new album, and I'm hoping that it's going to be probably the third single, I believe, because I think another song that Tracy and I are working on, I feel in my gut that it's our second single. I just want you to know that Tracy Carter is no joke, and the Tracy Carter, had it not been for him, I probably wouldn't be on this interview right now, because it's some of his music that, again, so sensitive, that people still love today, and that he took a chance on me to do and give that song to me. We actually wrote it together, but he could have easily said, hey, Tanya, you can just be a writer on it, but it went on my project, and I couldn't guarantee what was going to happen with that EP in 2008, but it didn't matter to him because he believed in me, and he's just an incredible, incredible artist, producer. You know, again, I don't know what he can't do. He's got drums in his house. He's got his old work studio. But don't sleep on people just because you may not know who they are, or because you may not know if they have a song placed on an artist right now on the radio. You never know where your biggest hit is coming from, and you never know who's going to give it to you. But the most important thing is not about the hit. It's about a team that believes in you. Because if you can have a producer give you a hit, but if they don't believe in you, then you're just a number to them. And so for me, I've tried to get, people like Tracy and Herschel and Felton and Narda and Rob Diggy, and even Deus in Atlanta, who I think Deus is working on a film project right now. But these are the guys that I know I'm not going to walk out of that studio with garbage. They're not going to let me walk out of the studio sounding like garbage. And I know that they believe in me, and I'm so excited to be able to give back to them, you guys, when this record is able to drop, and even if they got to go single at a time. I just want to be able to give back to Tracy and Herschel and Felton and Nada and Allie and the people that believe in LaTanya Holmes now and before, not after. It's about the before. It's about before the world knows who I am. And so, Tracy, I love you. I could go on forever about you and being a brother to me. I thank you. I love you. And I can't wait for the world to hear what we're working on. And I thank you for, just believing in me and being that big brother to me since day one of us working together, even in the play for the church. You always believed in me when I was not believing in myself and not feeling myself. So I just want to say thank you.
You're so welcome.
Hey, Tracy, I want to say, too, I need to get you on the show one day.
Oh, trip day.
I do. I've heard so much about you from, when we first met way back in March last year. I've heard a lot of phenomenal things about you from other artists as well. And I'd love to have you on the show, so let's get together on that.
Okay. Tell the people a little bit, I want them to know how they can find you, even though I'm a little biased about sharing you guys with people, but I'm a hater, so. But I'm a hater, too.
I just launched my website. It's www.turncomusic.com. Things on it. I'm currently on tour, like, on my site still, which I can find Joan Albrook. And I'm only going on the road with Dave Kahn, Lindy Avery, and Richard Elliott. So, between that and working with music, and I mean, it's so good that when people can feel you and see where you're at, and see that people enjoy who you are.
Yes.
You know, my words are few, but they mean so much.
Yeah.
You know, I have two records of my own. One is called Dimensionary Musician, which is a collaboration of friends of mine and musicians who I play with and work with, such as Andrew Boucher, Raymond Tisdale before he passed away, and John Albright.
Oh.
Some of the artists, Donald Hayes, and the new one, my latest release is called My Confidence, which is my inspirational record, which deals with my walk with Christ, and just my inspiration and my spiritual life and my walk with God and stuff is just going through our life. And actually, being able to write it down and, like Tyler said, you share with the world what you have, and that's all you do have is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're able to get that up, someone can be blessed, by or encouraged or even inspired.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much my motto. I live by that because it's all you have. It's you.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, when you lay it down, when you close your eyes, all you have is you.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta be able to give back to the world where whatever you've gone through, whatever you've stressed,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much that we can expand on. You can get some questions, we can get around and listen for Tanya, but that's me.
Beautiful. Tracy Carter.
Tracy Carter, you guys.
Yeah.
Follow him on Twitter at Trey Carr, CRAYCAR, on Twitter at Trey Carr. Follow him. If you follow me, follow him, because I'm telling you, he's bad. His brother's bad. And
amazing.
Incredible person with a great heart. So, you know, I like to give back, because I'm telling you, I can't explain how many seeds they've sown into my life and my career. So, Without them,
I got to say about Tanya. Tanya's a jewel. Tanya Holmes is a jewel. When we, first thing that came in when we were talking, when she was saying about encouragement, that song is about her life.
Yes.
That song is about her life. That's who she is as a woman. She's that sensitive about everything that's around her. And there's a lot of people today that live don't have a sensitivity of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And just that woman, I mean, honestly, we went to California Kitchen and wrote it while we eat the chicken. On a napkin, I never forget it. On a napkin.
Yes, we did. Oh, my God.
We were trying to come up with some concepts, and everybody was always right about one thing and right about that. But you know what? It's not about what a real woman is. Tanya Holmes is a real woman.
Oh.
All the way around. She's got a great family, who's responsive to her. And, you know, a lot of women can learn from her. Just for the sake of conversation, so you gotta, you don't get that because a lot of people are so proud of what they do rather than sharing your life. Like I said, all you have is you. And it's something you don't have that.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. I don't know how you know that.
I know you do. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you. You know.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm just so excited. I'm proud of again. It's gonna be doggone tears again. Y'all stop making me cry. I'm so glad you were able to call in.
Just got off a plane from Birmingham. We had last night with kind of missing distance, and I had to come today to rehearsal. So you know my time is moving.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, what are you doing? That's okay. I'll ride in.
Thank
so you're on the road? You on the road right now?
I'm on my way home now. I'm on my private. I'm on Bluetooth.
Okay. Yeah. Be careful now. Be safe.
Oh, yeah. I'm Bluetooth. I have a Bluetooth speaker in my car, so.
Technology.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real treat to have you call in, Tracy. Super. Thank you. Blessings to you and, you know, all your productions and everything and helping LaTanya. I see all the love there. I feel it. And the people out there and listening are feeling it, too.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's what it's all about. You guys can help support each other.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, yeah.
Just a little at a time.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, TT, for calling in. I call Tracy TT, y'all. So,
what did you just say?
Yes, I call him
TT. Hey, I'm going to be getting a hold of you, Tracy.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a day.
That was a treat right there.
Yes, because I sent him, I told him we were doing it, but I didn't hear from him, so I know when I don't hear from him, he's on a plane with Shaka, he's in a sound check or on stage, depending on, so I knew, and so he says, I'm
listening
to the interview, I just got out of rehearsal. Oh, my God, can you call in? I want to say something. I didn't have him on for 20 minutes, but... Yeah, he's a girl. So I wanted my Herschel Boone. I know Herschel called in, but he had to get back to a session. And Felton, I think, was in a rehearsal. But they know I love them, and I always acknowledge, you know, the people who've been there for me from day one, and we go back. And I don't take it for granted. And now, you know, to have Narda and Allie on board is just, my goodness, it is a dream come true.
Dream come true.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised. I'm amazed. I'm happy. I'm glad you're with the show today. I feel this love, and it's tremendous. And you guys are breaking my switchboard.
Oh, my God. Do we have more callers?
Well, we're toning down now. I've got a buffer here. We might take one, but we really want to get your Indiegogo campaign out here and out.
Yes.
You know, and I know you do have another engagement to go to also, so we don't want to get you late. We know you're a busy woman.
Yeah, I'm going to fit in. He pushed it back to 7. We're okay, but I know you have other things to do. I actually am going to a fitting. I want to shout out to fashion designer and stylist Mr. Melvin Bennett, who will be the man behind the wardrobe that you guys will see me in on the cover photo for Stand Up. So I have to go to Melvin's at 7 for a fitting.
Can't wait to see that. Can't wait.
I've seen a few samples, and I'm quite excited. So I'm shouting out to Melvin Bennett, and I also want to give a shout out to my vocal coach Tim Carter. I think Tim is doing something today, but he's been working with me because when I had that tragic accident, you know, from The Color Purple, and I stated I wasn't singing, I was doing pretty much nothing. I lost a lot of my range, and so I literally had to start over. And so Tim has taken my voice, and we're still fighting, and I'm still pushing. You know, I'm still not all the way there. But I'm closer, and each session and each lesson, I get stronger. And so he's helping me find that top voice again and being able to just do it. And so I wanted to shout out to him as well, because I don't take my cane for granted, and my hairstyle is still Langford. He's on somebody's head right now. I don't take these people for granted, you guys. Bear with me. I know this is supposed to be about me, but without them, there will not. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So I got to give the love to my team because they've been there. Like I said, you know, they've been there. They've taken discounts. They've done things for me for free because they believe in me. So I got to give back. So I was taught to give back. And my mom, my dad, my family, my brother, my sister-in-law, my niece and my nephew, I love you. So I got to just shout out to my family and my team, my true friends, and you guys know who you are. Sorry, Ron, I had to say that.
No, that's fine. That's beautiful. I love it. I'm loving it.
I get caught up because I'm like, you know,
you got to give the love. I mean,
Yeah.
Perfectly understand that. But Tanya, your Indiegogo campaign, tell us what it's for, how you came up with the idea, what are your goals, what the goals are you reaching for, and most important of all, where can we look for the links for your campaign?
Oh, yes. Okay. Where do we want to start with the links?
Tell us what the idea is, the concept, and what goal are you reaching for?
Well, my Indiegogo campaign, you guys, is actually winding down. We have 8 days left. 8 days left, and I'm very, very far away from reaching my campaign goal, which is $50,000. And what that $50,000 would go towards is, you know, Narda and Allie have donated Stand Up to me. Ron Diggy is donating a song to me. But Tracy Carter, you know, has donated to me. But I can't keep asking these people or expecting them to donate, you know. So I have to make more songs. And, you know, you're asking me for an album. I initially wanted to put out one single at a time and see what catches and, you know, roll that way. But so many requests have come in for, hey, can you give us an album? And I really wanted to meet that request and make my dream album, especially because I have so much to say to the world through song. And in order to do that, it's going to cost money to make more songs, to record the songs, to pay the musicians, to cover studio costs, to pay the engineer, to get the songs mixed and mastered, to pay for duplication. I have some incredible promoters that I've been talking to. They cost. By that, I mean to get the record played in the right places for the right people, to get the record at the top of the chart. It's not going to just be a regional release. I'm looking for, I need national promotion, international promotion, because I want the world to hear my music. Also, you know, getting the song on iTunes, Amazon, also to make some incredible music videos, because everything now musically is so social media heavy. I can release a single every other day if I want to. It's not hard to get the song on iTunes, but people want to see what you look like. People want a video. So I don't want to just put out crap. I want to really put out some great videos with at least the first three singles, you know. So that's part of why I'm asking for $50,000, because I want to be able to make an album with at least 11 to 12 songs. So that's why I've launched this Indiegogo campaign. Again, I'm very far away from reaching the goal. I do want to thank everybody who has donated already, and I have several people who reached out to me that they're going to donate. But we are winding down, and I'm just asking you to donate whatever amount you can. I say no donation is too small. I have a $5 donation, and I'm not one to count anybody's money, because I know that right now times are hard for a lot of people, including me. I wish I could do this on my own, but I just can't this time, you know. But I have faith, and, you know, whatever the final amount of the campaign is, just know that the monies that are there now will still be used to go towards this project. Like right now, what's there is going to go towards this photo shoot for the stand-up cover, the video, the, you know, releasing it, the promotions that have to go into it. And so I've launched this Indiegogo campaign to ask you guys to please help me make my dream album and share my story through song and my voice with the world. And I don't take any donations for granted. at all, because I know if it's $5 or $5,000, it's your hard-earned money. And so please go, you know, donate whatever you can. I would say the easiest way to find the link, since we are, you know, on a radio interview, is to go to my website, because on my website, on the news page, it says Natanya launches Indiegogo video, and there is a link that says check here to donate, click here to donate, and you'll see Natanya Holmes' debut album. So the best place and the easiest way to find the link is to go to www.LatanyaHolmes.com. If you don't know how to spell my name, it's LatonyaHolmes.com. And the news page, which is the first page, when you go scroll down, you'll see, click here to donate. I want you not to just donate, though. I want you to watch the video and read the perks, because for donating, you get the option to choose what I think are some pretty cool perks exchange for your pledges. So it's not just about, you know, it's really like you can pre-order the CD, you know, so many different perks that are available. So please choose one that you feel you'd really love to have, and donate whatever you can. I really want to make this album. And again, for those of you who have donated, please fear not. Your monies are going to go towards this project. Stand Up is ready to go. The Nada and Ali have done their job. The song is ready. I now have to get the rest of it done. And, you know, they can't. I can't expect for them to pay for that. So even what's there now will go towards the photo shoot. It will go towards, you know, the promoters, paying the promoters and the distribution and the marketing of the song. So fret not. It's not a game. I'm not just trying to take your money or ask you to donate towards something that I won't give my all. And please know that I have already donated quite a bit of my own funds. So I don't want you to think I'm asking you to do something that I have not already done. So it's the Indiegogo campaign, Latonya Holmes' debut album at LatonyaHolmes.com. It's the easiest way for me to tell you to find the link, and it will take you to the Indiegogo page. And everything is tracked through Indiegogo and by them, so it's all legal, and the numbers you'll receive, all of that, and it's a tax. It is a tax write-off. It's a tax deduction, so you can get a tax break on it as well. So that's the deal with the Indiegogo campaign.
Yes, please, everybody, please dig deep down in your pockets and your heart, and help Latonya on this project. You won't regret it. It's coming from a lot of testimony that we've heard on the program so far, and I'll attest to that fact, too. I'm sitting here waiting and hoping and praying that this campaign will be successful for her. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. Unfortunately, we can't. We got to wind down. I'd love to go on and on for hours. I know you're busy. I know you have. I know that you're fitting to go to. We don't want you to miss that, because we need all of this to come together and have you break out in this this new song and the new outfit and everything that you're going to be wearing.
Yes.
We're waiting so patiently. I want to say one last thing here. I want to thank my special guest, Latonya Holmes, for joining us and sharing her experiences and her artistry with us on Good Now Live Radio, and wish her the best on the Indiegogo campaign and her new Dream CD and your career. And I want to have an outro here, which I was going to put on your snippet, but I think this calls for a beautiful day.
Oh, beautiful day. Shelton Alford, written by Rhett George and Quentin Barrington. Yes.
Thank you, Ron. Special ending. You're very welcome, Latonya, and hope to see you back again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Thanks for your time. Thanks for believing in me. And thanks for, like I said earlier, all that you've done and all that you are doing in the midst of your own stuff. I thank you for taking the time out and not being, you know, selfish and sharing and believing in me to you know, put some of your stuff on hold to see myself through, and I really need to know that I don't take it for granted, and thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for all the calls and the love. Thank you.
You have a good evening.
You too. Bye, Ron.
Bye.
I'm gonna take my time, it's a beautiful day.